What's going on, folks? Welcome to episode 6 of the Next Man Up Injury Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Allen. Unfortunately, Matthew is unable to join us this evening, but the show must go on. With that being said, I am joined once again by the talented Eric Crail. Eric, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. I'm in some new Dynasty startups, so the vibes are high tonight.
Those are always fun, and especially when it's draft time and you're making those draft day trades, those are the best. And on tonight's show, we give the honor of our very first guest appearance to the one and only Kyle Trimble. Kyle, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Kyle, Eric, thanks for having me on tonight, guys. I'm a physical therapist, live in Buffalo, New York. I'm a huge Buffalo Bills fan. If you can see my background right now, it's full of Bills memorabilia.
It is immaculate.
Yes, you can see it, of course, at this time when we're talking. But the listeners, unfortunately, can't. But it is magnificent. But anyway, I am a big Bills fan. I do run the site bangedupbills.com. I focus on mostly on Buffalo Bills injuries, but I've been branching out into more AFC East stuff, which we'll get to tonight. I've been tracking injuries as a whole from a fantasy standpoint. I also write for Buffalo Rumblings, which is a Buffalo Bills SB Nation site. I do draft work for Cover One, and I am also an injury analyst for The Game Day, which is a sports betting website. So I have my hand in a little bit of everything, and my goal is just to educate the fantasy player, reader, better, anybody who's reading the content, just try to have them make the best decisions possible or understand what is going on with the injury and how it can affect either the game they're watching or the bets they're making or fantasy.
Well, you sound like my kind of guy. And for that reason, I have been following you for a while on Twitter, and I couldn't think of anybody better to join us to talk about the AFC East than you. So I'm glad you're able to make it tonight.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, sir. Last week, we wrapped up our divisional breakdowns of the NFC. And if you'd like to hear those episodes, you can find them by searching the Next Man Up Injury Podcast anywhere that you listen to podcasts, by following the link in the description, or visit RiderDynasty.com and look under the podcast tab. Now, on this episode, we'll be discussing the AFC East, as we've alluded to. Team by team, we'll break it down by the most fantasy-relevant injury concerns. For the sake of organization, we'll go in order of their finishes in the conference from last season. And we'll kick it off with Kyle's AFC East champion. I know that feels good to hear that.
It does. Buffalo. It's been a long time coming.
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
Like the Buffalo Bills.
So let's kick it off with arguably their second most fantasy relevant player, Stephon Diggs. Now, he has a knee injury. He didn't dress for the first preseason game. Do we have any concerns moving into the regular season or concerns about any chronic issues, Kyle?
We don't know right now. And the reason we don't know right now is because the Bills won't tell us. Not that I expect that they will, but they have been real cagey on what's been going on. Just to give you a timeline, what has been going on since this has all started. So going back, he last practiced on August 7th, and this was like one of the open practices they had to the fans. They had like almost 20,000 people show up to the stadium just for practice. But prior to that, he was off August 6th, had practice back on August 5th in full. There wasn't any reports that he was dealing with any injuries. The only thing I saw before that is he got a shot to the midsection when catching a ball, popped right back up. There wasn't an issue with that. But then since August 9th, he has not practiced. He's now on 6 days of no practice. That includes one preseason game where he has not played, which the preseason game in itself wasn't all that surprising because most of the starters did not play against the Lions. But we don't know what's going on. He's moving around okay. He's been spotted on the sidelines. He's not working out at all, but he's been off to the side helping guys out, coaching them up a little bit. He's been walking around when he was at Ford Field, and there didn't seem to be any bracing on him, any limping, anything that suggests anything acutely wrong. We just don't know what's going on. He doesn't really have much of a history with regards to the knee injuries in the past from what I found. He did deal with knee soreness last year during the preseason, but it didn't really stop him, and of course they didn't have games last year. So we're trying to put all the pieces of the puzzle together. We don't know what he's going or what he's currently dealing with. I've seen some stuff out there thinking it might be a tendonitis thing. It could be an overuse thing, wear and tear. There's not really anything definitive because we don't have anything to go off of saying, hey, he's had this in the past or he has dealt with that. And so you can speculate all you want, but at the end of the day, all it is speculation, which is a form of guessing. So we don't know what's going on, but we do know that Sean McDermott doesn't anticipate this will last in the regular season. He does have just shy of a month to get fully ready for the season. Based off at what's going on right now, and he's not going through any surgeries or any further details are present right now, I expect him to be ready unless they come out with some big thing saying he's having surgery or he'll be out for the next 3 weeks. But I don't anticipate any of that coming out, nor do we see anything coming out right now at that time. So going back to the original part of that, we don't know what's going on, but it's of mild concern right now.
Well, that's quite an encouraging update, but certainly something to keep an eye on as a Bills fan and as a fantasy manager. Eric, you said you were in some startups. Are you looking at Stefon Diggs with some question marks now because of this news, or are you going to go ahead and trust it?
I trust it. I mean, Stefon Diggs is one of the few receivers who could finish the year as wide receiver one. So at this point, with so much mysteriousness with his knee, I mean, I think if it was something that was going to truly limit him and cause him to miss games, we would know something more about it. You know, there would be an MRI report or just more talk around the league. But Stefon Diggs, to me, he's worth the risk.
Yeah, I definitely get a little bit of inner peace knowing that he doesn't have a chronic history there either.
No, none that I can find.
Now, moving into the backfield in Buffalo, Zach Moss, what's the latest on him and his risk for re-injury heading into the season, Kyle?
He's going to suffer an injury at some point. In fact, he is coming off an injury right now. He's dealing with a mild right hamstring strain. He suffered it back on August 9th or 10th, one of the 2 days. He missed the preseason game against the Lions, but according to head coach Sean McDermott, he was 50-50 in chances of play. They did come out today on August 19th and say he will play against the Bears. So usually the Bills have been very conservative in managing hamstring strains, as evidenced with past guys who have dealt with that. But when the coach definitively says he's going to play, that shows that it was a truly mild thing and that he's going to be, I would say, fully healthy at this point. He is coming off the high ankle sprain fracture he suffered in the win over the Colts in the postseason last year. He didn't really participate much in OTAs because he was kind of on the back end of the rehab and they just said, let's not push it. So he's going to be available. He's going to be a nice complimentary 1-2 punch for Devin Singletary. He'll probably get some goal line carries, but he has a long injury history and he has not shown the ability to really stay healthy throughout the entirety of his season. I know that his NFL sample size is very small, but going back to his days at Utah, he's dealt with injuries every single year. And while he's played through a lot of them, those injuries limited his production and his availability, which is one of the key things when you're looking at from a fantasy standpoint and just from a general standpoint. You want your guys to be able to be healthy, available, and produce at their maximum level. So I have guarded optimism about Zach Moss because he has not shown the ability to be healthy, but when healthy, he can produce. So he's kind of a high risk, high reward type deal in my mind.
Yeah, I love how you presented that. I close out every one of our podcasts here with the best ability is availability. And absolutely, you hit the nail on the head with that. Now, Eric, you go first here, and I'm going to come back to you on it, Kyle. Out of this running back room, there's a lot of disparity between who's going to be the best back for fantasy purposes out of this backfield. Who do you want on your squad, Eric?
Well, I'm really interested to know Kyle's take, but when I see this backfield, strictly speaking, role types, I see a very poor man's Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara, where last year Zach Moss was healthy, and him and Devin Singletary, they split snaps almost 50-50. So, you know, if I'm drafting them, then I'm probably drafting Zach Moss in redraft for his goal line carries. But if it's PPR, then Singletary is probably my pick for his receiving upside.
I like it. Kyle, who you got?
I'm going to go with Devin Singletary because he's been more healthier. And while the rushing game was subpar last year because Buffalo's offensive line was not consistent, I think they had a total of 3 plays where their entire offensive line was playing as they intended. So once you get behind a consistent offensive line that Devin Singletary had in 2019, he, if I recall correctly, led the league in yards per attempt as a rookie, which is pretty impressive. Granted, he dropped off last year because of the issues with the offensive line, but he could get back up to that level where he's going to be producing the yards. Yes, he might get his touchdowns taken away because of Zach Moss, but we also saw a lot of touchdowns be taken away by Josh Allen because he loves diving into the end zone when it's, you know, goal line. But I'm going to go with Singletary just because he's healthy, and when he gets that ball in his hands, he gets the yardage, which you can't discount when you're looking at it from a fantasy perspective.
Yep, absolutely. The yardage and receiving ability out of the backfield is
that too.
Huge. Yes, sir. All righty. I can't ask the question and not answer it myself. I'm going to round it out and say, yes, I agree with both of you. Devin Singletary would be the one I want out of those two. So moving on down to Miami with the Dolphins, the entire Dolphins wide receiver room makes me kind of raise my eyebrows when we start talking about injury and we talk about injury history and future risk. Most recently, we've seen Preston Williams miss significant time last season with a foot injury, and he still remains on the reserve list. Now, Eric, while his role will likely be more of a depth role this year, what is Preston Williams' outlook for this season in terms of injury risk moving forward?
Yeah, you know, I'm rooting for the guy, but two season-ending surgeries in 2 years in the league is not what you want. And then he was placed on the COVID list a few weeks ago, so it's just not a good pattern. And we know that the best ability in football is availability. So my biggest concern is that you're still really at a high risk of ACL re-tear within your first 2 years after ACL surgery, which he is. And we learned from my deep dive into Saquon Barkley's ACL rehab that wide receivers typically have a harder time returning to form after ACL than running backs. So my hopes aren't high for him, unfortunately. In Dynasty, I might take him late, but in redraft, I don't even think he's worth a flyer.
Yeah, the depth role and the injury history don't excite me. I really liked him coming in the last season, and then he was just couldn't stay on the field. So diving more into the depth of the Dolphins receiver room, let's look at their two newest weapons. They brought in Jaylen Waddle in the first round of the draft and veteran Will Fuller in free agency. Now, Waddle was talked about at length during the college football playoffs last season, was able to limp through a few plays in the national championship despite appearing to be quite uncomfortable. I think it was more of a pride thing and proving it to himself that he could get back out there, but hindsight, it was not pretty. Kyle, while Waddle appears to be fully recovered through one preseason game and looked pretty good, does his past raise any red flags for you at all?
Absolutely not. He had a pretty standard break. He had the surgery. I thought it was really stupid that he went out there and played in the national championship game. That's great he was able to, but I know why he wanted to, because he wanted to be on the field as they won. But he risked a lot not being fully healthy going out there and playing, even what he was able to do limited. Going forward, though, I know that the press has been big on, oh, he's limping today. He's still having some pain. He's 100%. He's past that. He's almost to that 12-month mark where he's going to be fully healthy. He may still deal with some minor pain and inflammation, but I have no concerns with injury to the area because it's reinforced with the surgical hardware. And on top of that, too, it's just not something we see happen again and again. Once you have the injury, you get repaired, you're usually good to go. So I think there's a lot of people that are getting scared because it's preseason. They might take a few reps off, but I would be more than comfortable drafting him wherever his ADP falls. But if you want to go up and get him, sure. But injury wise, I have no concerns. In fact, I believe that's the only injury I could find that he had dating back to Alabama. So he's probably getting injured at some point later on, but it's not going to be something that could have been predicted because of this prior ankle injury. So draft him with confidence because there's no concerns moving forward here.
Word, that's certainly encouraging. Now, we can't talk about receiver injuries without Will Fuller making his way into the conversation. Now, we know he's starting the season on a suspension, but once he comes back, what are the chances he stays healthy through the rest of the season?
I'm going to use a phrase that my friend Greg Thompson over at Cover One uses. I'm going to paraphrase him, but it's less than zero chance. He's going to get injured. I hate saying that, but he has not been able to play a full season since entering the league. I believe I was reading before I got on here just to do extra research. I think the most games he's played in season is 14, which it's hard to stay healthy through an entire season. So that's not necessarily a knock against a guy not being able to play 16 games versus 14, but he has a long history of the soft tissue injuries. If I recall correctly, he has ACL injury in there as well. And he just always seems to be dealing with a little ticky-tacky, or more severe injuries. Right now, he's dealing with a foot injury. He suffered that back on July 29th. He's been out since then. They haven't given us any updates on what's going on with the foot. This could be a midfoot sprain. This could be... there wasn't a ton of information about it. That's what makes it hard to tell out where he's going to be at. And we have seen foot injuries continually to crop up, be a problem later on. You got to hope that the Dolphins are saying, hey, we're paying this guy a lot of money. Let's make sure he's fully healthy. And they have the benefit, I guess, in some senses of him not being able to play week one because of his suspension. So they're still going to ideally get him for 16 full games, which is still a substantial amount of time. They'd rather make sure he's healthy rather than trying to trot him out there. And we see a repeat of, let's say, Cam Newton, where he tried to get through the season with his foot injury a few years ago, and he just was not the same and still hasn't been the same since then. Will Fuller, I'm not touching him in any drafts. I'm also a little biased being a Bills fan, but just seeing his history, if you get him, high risk, high reward, but I wouldn't be touching him just because I wouldn't want him to sit him on the bench and then, hey, you're going to put him out there and he ticks you off again and again, and he only gets maybe two good games.
Yeah, I feel like anything, his suspension at the beginning of the year and then his injury history just kind of adds to the value of somebody like Jaylen Waddle or Devontae Parker in that offense.
Mm-hmm.
And with Fuller obviously missing time with the suspension and possibly further with that injury that you were talking about, another Dolphins receiver that recently was put on injured reserve is Allen Hurns. Now, I don't think he would be very fantasy relevant, but it just speaks to there may be increased reps for those other receivers we talked about. Moving on to the New England Patriots. The Patriots made headlines this offseason by spending early and often in free agency in an attempt to rebound from their worst finish in decades. Yes, decades. In fact, the Patriots failed to finish first or even tied for first in the division for the first time since Bill Belichick's first season there in 2000.
Welcome to the real world.
Whew, rough. Two of the biggest signings in New England this year were tight ends Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry. Henry missed the preseason opener due to a shoulder injury. Eric, can you give us an update on his status?
Yeah, from what I've seen, the Patriots have been really vague with Henry's exact injury, but the verbiage used was a shoulder tweak. I mean, we know that he got a clean report from an MRI, and Bill Belichick himself labeled him as day-to-day. Not that that really means that much, but I mean, I think a fair guess is some sort of sprain, maybe a low-grade AC joint sprain, and most rehab timelines for low-grade sprains, for whatever it is, would put him in position to be ready for their week one opener. That's, I think, 3 weeks from now. So I don't really have too much concern about Hunter Henry. I think they're just being conservative with him in the preseason.
Well, that's encouraging to hear. Hopefully he'll be back on the field soon for New England. More recently, the Pats received some bad news about their new toys at tight end with Jonnu Smith, who suffered a left ankle sprain during practice on Sunday. Now, Kyle, is Smith expected to miss any significant time?
Not from what I've seen. Reports are saying he had a low ankle sprain. And looking back at his injury history prior with his time with I believe Tennessee, he's been incredibly durable. He doesn't miss much time. He had knee injury last year, missed one game. If he does suffer an injury, it doesn't really cause a lot of problems, and he's been very productive during his time in the league. So low ankle sprains are going to happen. You tape it up and, you know, just make sure you try to manage any pain and swelling and get him right back out there. So especially with the time from now until the beginning of training camp, or excuse me, the beginning of the regular season, I have no concerns, and he's going to be a hot target, especially when the run on tight ends begin in your draft.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see which of those two tight ends will kind of emerge as the number one there, if it's just going to be a back and forth like the days of old New England.
I'm going to go with Jonnu Smith because I think he's going back to what our theme is. He's more available. Hunter Henry's had his share of injuries, and he's been more severe with the ACL and whatnot. But I think Jonnu Smith has just had more production and been more consistent on the field, which I think he's going to be a more favorite target. I'd want to target Jonnu Smith over Hunter Henry until Hunter Henry shows more what he can do in the Patriots offense.
Yeah, and money talks. I mean, I think Jonnu Smith got something like $50+ million, and Hunter Henry, I got something like in the 30s for his deal. So, I mean, it just shows you how much they value Jonnu Smith compared to Hunter Henry.
Yeah, and if there's any offensive coordinator that can scheme to a two tight end set, it's going to be Josh McDaniels. I'm excited to see what those two can do. Now, while he may not have a huge fantasy While he may not be a huge fantasy asset to managers by scoring, he can be a nightmare against your top receivers. Stephon Gilmore has battled a quad issue throughout training camp and has yet to make an appearance for the Patriots. Kyle, the Patriots are in the midst of contract negotiations with Gilmore as well. Do you feel that this will impact their negotiations in any way? And when can we expect to see the Gilly Lock back on the field?
It's complicated because he had this surgery at the end of December. So you're looking, it's roughly a 6-month recovery. Sometimes closer to 9 because getting back into full shape of everything. But he was saying back when he got the surgery that this shouldn't affect him for OTAs, and yet it was. He was saying as recently as last month in early July that he was feeling stronger than ever, and he's been doing great with everything. He was also saying that he wants what he's worth. Looking at his contract, he probably should be getting paid more, but when he signed his contract at the time, it was getting paid a lot of money. Unfortunately, the market increases based off the pay or in the quality of play that we see out there. So I don't blame him, but I hate to see that he's potentially used an injury to do a hold-in, as I've seen the term used, to try to get more money. I don't know how somebody says, I'm stronger than ever, and then you're on pup list. I'd have to go back and look at the rules and whatnot, but I don't know that anybody has to be forced into getting a physical. I think you say, hey, when I'm ready, I can go get a physical. So I'm not sure how that works, but I know he reported, so he avoided the fines. I think this is more just related to the fact that he wants to do contract over the quad injury, because we haven't seen anything that says he has had a setback or anything to suggest that he's had any injuries there. So I hate blaming the availability based off of his contract, but I think that's what more it is there. But when he gets back out there, he's going to be pretty close to his dominant self that you saw him win Defensive Player of the Year 2 years ago.
Yeah, for me, there's no question he is the best player on the Patriots roster, and I feel like they should pay him accordingly. Now, we got to round it out with the New York Football Jets. Now, while nothing major, some of the New York Jets rookies seem to have some growing pains going on lately. Offensive lineman Elijah Vera Tucker has missed time with a pec strain this preseason, but he's expected to return. Eric, this is a young offensive line already to begin with. With injuries now entering the picture, how much concern do you have about Michael Carter emerging as a viable fantasy back in New York?
A pec strain is really a description of a spectrum of an injury, so it could either be low grade or as much as almost a tear, but it's likely on the low side. In any event, I think Michael Carter's biggest barrier to fantasy viability is the busy running back room around him, not his offensive line. So, you know, this pec strain isn't really something that's concerning me about that backfield. It's just trying to pick which one gets the most work for this next year.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that rounds out. I think by the end of the year, Michael Carter should take over that job. If his college performances indicate anything, I think he's probably the most talented back in that backfield. But we'll see what they end up doing with a new coaching staff, new quarterback, everything's new there. So it's a roll of the dice. On the other side of the ball, second-year defensive tackle Quinnen Williams has been dealing with a foot injury during camp. Kyle, can you give us an update on his injury, and should his IDP stock be on the rise this season after a disappointing rookie campaign?
He had the foot injury. We don't know what side. He suffered it back in May. It was an 8 to 10 week recovery. He recently got off the pup. I believe it was the 16th that we saw him get off the pup list. He's been starting to get back out there and make some noise in joint practices and just in general, the team practices. So I think he just really needs to get back into shape, and that being football shape, I think he'll be able to build off his rookie campaign and really start to build and be more the dominant defensive tackle that he was drafted to be. He did deal with the neck and concussion issue last year, and then there was something else that he dealt with that escaped me at the moment. So being a 2-14 football team last year, it was tough to say, hey, I want to go out there and play hard every week. But when you keep losing, it grinds, I think, even the most dedicated players. We don't know what the specifics of the foot injury were. They never disclosed what he exactly broke in there, but he had surgery to fix it. If you are doing IDP, I don't see why you wouldn't, especially with him being in more of a defensive-based scheme, being that Robert Saleh is now the coach versus Adam Gase. So I would think that Saleh is going to want to exploit what Quinnen Williams can bring to the field and really try to get him in there to disrupt the passer and force them into mistakes.
Yeah, he was a force at Alabama, and I was really excited to see what he could do in that defense last year. With the addition of Robert Saleh, as you were saying, I think his value is going to rise very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the rookies I know that many are very excited about in New York is wide receiver Elijah Moore. Kyle, it was reported after their first preseason game that he suffered a quad injury. Can you give us an update on his status and how this may impact him as the season gets closer?
Seeing what happened with Denzel Mims last year with his hamstrings, and he had a real slow start to season and never really took off like they had thought he would, I imagine they're going to be very, very conservative with Elijah Moore and make sure he's fully healthy. We know that those lower body soft tissue injuries can persist if you're trying to work through them. Now, if it happens in regular season, you take the time off that you can afford and get back out there. But since it's still a preseason, they can try to maximize his recovery. This can be a 4 to 6 week injury to recover from. I will give a tidbit since this guy played on the Bills last year. Linebacker Delshon Phillips, he was with the Bills, played all 14 snaps last year because he suffered a quad strain in week one and again in week seven. He just could never get over this quad strain. And even when he did come back after a stint on IR, he injured it again. So if I'm Elijah Moore and I know that about my teammate, I'm seeking him out and saying, hey, what did you do right? What did you do wrong? I want to make sure I'm coming back, because while the demands of a linebacker are different than that of a wide receiver, there's still a lot of similarities. And I would want to find somebody who's dealt with this injury and want to make sure I rehab it correctly. This might be a little bit biased here, but I've done some research into it. The Jets, they've had some issues with their injury regarding the training staff. So I'd want to make sure that my guys in the training staff are maximizing these high draft picks so they can get better fully. They're already under siege right now because they just lost Carl Lawson today to an Achilles tear, and they lost somebody else to a patellar tear as well. So I'd hope that the training staff in New York is taking as much stock in Elijah Moore to make sure he's healthy as they are the other guys and not neglecting anybody.
Yeah, absolutely. I was about to bring that up about Carl Lawson being out for the season after tearing his Achilles today. As you were saying with Elijah Moore, I think it's very important that this training staff stays after him about recovery, making sure he's getting on the mend quickly, because as I know Eric and I have talked about a lot with talking about ACL tears and how hamstring injuries can lead to those, it's kind of scary to think about what could happen if they're not diligent in getting him healed up before they push him back out there. Now, I didn't put this in the show notes for you guys. I've got a little surprise for you. We're adding in a new segment this week. We're going to add in a little trivia to close this out. So I felt like we should center it a little bit around the AFC East and head over to the Bills in honor of you, Kyle. So last season, Josh Allen was the highest scoring player in fantasy football of all positions, I believe all formats. He scored 395 fantasy points. This ranks eighth all time. Can you name the highest scoring fantasy player of all time? Tiebreaker will be if you can name the season. Double tiebreaker if you can guess closest to the amount of points.
God, so just rephrase that question again so I make sure I can think correctly here.
So Josh Allen had the most points scored by any player all season last season.
Okay.
He ranked eighth all time of all players. Who is the highest scoring in a single season?
I almost want this as a trick question here, but let me think about this for a second.
Yep, take your time.
I want to say Peyton Manning. It's got to be one of those years when he had one of the huge seasons. I want to say 2013 when he had the 50-some touchdowns. I think he hit over 5,000 yards that year.
All right. I'm not gonna respond to it yet. I want to hear Eric's answer.
He stole it. It was definitely Peyton Manning when he just went off with those touchdowns. But I couldn't think of the year, so if we tied, it was definitely Kyle.
The year is correct. The passing yards were over 5,000. However, that is fourth all time.
Wow. Okay.
So the three ahead of him, I'll go in ascending order. So Lamar Jackson 2019 scored 3.7 more points. Patrick Mahomes, 2018, was second with 417 points. Manning was 412. And then the number one scoring fantasy season of all time was LaDainian Tomlinson in 2006.
Ooh. Oh. How much did he score?
He scored, And I don't know if this is PPR or not. I would have to do some. It doesn't list receptions on here, so I don't know. 427.
Jeez.
Pat Mahomes was 417 in 2018.
He had those crazy. He had like, what, 30 something touchdowns alone?
31 total, 28 rushing, 3 receiving.
Yep. I don't know if we see that record ever broken again.
I don't think it'll be touched. I think the only person that stands a chance is Christian McCaffrey, and his best season in 2019 ranks number 9 for RBs. Yeah.
Wow.
Here's a crazy one. LaDainian Tomlinson's number 1 season all time beat. Obviously, it's the highest all time. Well, the next 10 are all quarterbacks before the next one, and it's Marshall Faulk as a running back.
Dang.
So it's like LT is an entire 10 QBs above everybody else.
That's legendary.
That is crazy. So that wraps it up for trivia. Unfortunately, nobody won. I want to think Matthew would have got it. He would have known the exact amount of points and everything. I don't know if he would have. We're just going to give him credit for it. All right. So that's going to do it for us on this week's episode of The Next Man Up. Next time we circle the wagons, we'll move across the conference to work through the AFC West. Kyle, I want to thank you again for joining us tonight. Thank you for bringing your expertise to the table. I could tell you did your homework, and I appreciate that very much. It was an honor to have you with us, sir.
Thank you very much for having me on. I definitely enjoy coming on these podcasts and talk about the Bills and just injuries in general. If I could get somebody to pay me for this full time, I would gladly take that job in a heartbeat.
I will be your first reference. You give me a call. I got your bag, brother.
Perfect.
As always, we'll close it out with our social media tags. Eric, where can the listeners find you, sir?
You can find me on Twitter at @FF_Nighthawk.
Alrighty. And Kyle, wrap it up for us here. Where can the listeners find you and what tags should they search for you to follow?
You can find me on Twitter at @BangedUpBills. That's where I cover most of the Bills stuff. You can also find me at KyleTrimble88. That's where you see more of the game day stuff and just general fantasy and PT related things. And you can find my work over at bangedupbills.com, The Game Day, Buffalo Rumblings, and Cover One.
All righty. The man is everywhere. If you can't find him, just go to Google and type in Buffalo. You might find something. All righty. Before I sign off, we need to give a big shout out to a close personal friend of mine and friend of the podcast, John C., for creating our intro and outro music. If you're looking for music for your podcast, videos, or just need to hear some sweet tunes, you can reach him at johncmusic@gmail.com. That's johncmusic@gmail.com. Kyle, don't you dare go email John C. with an H in his name. That guy is not nice. Again, my name is Kyle Allen. You can find me on Twitter @KAllen_4. And don't forget to check out RiderDynasty.com for the latest from our writer's room. And give us a follow on Twitter @RideOrDynasty. And one last thing before we go. Always remember that the best ability is availability. Peace.